Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the St. Louis Collaborative Family Law Association podcast, where attorneys, mental health, and financial professionals talk about divorce and other family law matters. CFLA is a network of professionals committed to providing a respectful, supportive, and non-adversarial process to resolve disputes and family matters.
Hello, and welcome to podcast episode 8, Understanding Your Credit Before, During, and After a Divorce. Today we're talking with Nicole Davis, a member of the Collaborative Family Law Association of St. Louis. Nicole Davis is a certified divorce financial analyst, financial advisor, mediator, and collaborative law professional. Her divorce financial work focuses on helping individuals understand their finances before, during, and after divorce. She helps clients make divorce financial decisions that are well prepared and fully understood. Nicole believes that through proper planning, everyone can transition divorce with financial clarity and security about their future. For more information or to find a divorce professional, please visit us at www.stlouiscollaborativelaw.com. And I'm Cynthia Garnholz with the Garnholz Law Firm, LLC, in St. Louis. I'm a collaborative family law attorney in practice for over 30 years and a founding member of the Collaborative Family Law Association of St. Louis. I believe collaborative practice is the best way to achieve lasting peace for parents and children after divorce. Well, Nicole Davis, I'm excited to talk with you today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I know you're very enthusiastic about helping people plan their finances and take actions that protect their finances during divorce and beyond, of course. And today you'd like to share some information for our listeners about how they can protect their credit during the divorce process. So to get started, I was wondering if you could help our listeners understand, what is credit? We hear that term credit thrown around a lot, but just to make sure our listeners understand, can you briefly touch on the concept of credit and exactly what it is?
Sure, Cynthia, that's a great place to start. Just simply put, credit refers to your ability to borrow. It's a reflection of your reputation as a borrower. So when you try to obtain loans or a line of credit, your quote-unquote credit gives the potential lender the information that tells them how likely you are to repay the loan or the line of credit.
So are you saying that having no credit or even low credit can create some challenge?
Yes, it certainly can. Your credit will actually determine your ability to buy something without requiring an all-cash payment or a cosigner. So if you have a low credit score or you have no credit history of your own, meaning in this situation separate from your spouse, then it can be very difficult to qualify for loans independent and on your own. So little or no credit can make it difficult to obtain a loan for buying a house, renting an apartment, or buying a car. So the inability to obtain these items independent from someone else makes it hard for people to begin their single life on their own post-divorce. So yes, it can certainly, it's a challenge.
So now that we know what credit is and how a lender might use the information, could you tell us how lenders acquire the information that tells them about a person's credit history and score?
Sure. So lenders, credit card companies, insurance companies, landlords, and even some employers will pull what's called our credit report. And your credit report is a collection of information that tells these institutions or a potential employer things like the loans you've had in the past It will generally keep history for 7 years, how much you've borrowed on each loan, and your payment history on those loans. So whoever has pulled your credit wants to know how many times you have been late in making a payment. So if you've never been late, it will show the potential lender that you've never been late. This information is used to tell them about your historical behavior in paying your debt. And they'll use this as one of the factors in determining how likely you are to pay on the loan or the debt that you're trying to obtain. So previous behavior often reflects in your ability to obtain future loans or rent an apartment or things like that. So it's really important to have a good history there. They'll also look for loans you currently have, and they want to know about the minimum monthly payments of each loan, because this will go into a certain calculation to determine things like how much income you have and how likely you are to meet your minimum payments. And then based on that information, what might you have extra left over each month to obtain the loan that you're trying to obtain or rent the apartment that you're trying to rent. They also want to know about bankruptcies, any foreclosures, any accounts that have been written off, such as overdrawn bank accounts, unpaid medical bills, unpaid utilities, and those sort of things. And some of those things land on credit reports to no fault of the individual. They're just incorrectly reported, and it's important to know those things because you could actually get it removed from your credit report. So your credit report is actually the master document behind your credit score, and it serves as your reputation, or reflecting your reputation, for paying your debts and bills.
Wow, that credit report is really important. So that's really good information. How can people that are thinking about divorce or even in the process of divorce, what steps can they take, if any, to protect their credit?
That's a really great question, Cynthia. One that isn't asked frequently enough. We could do several podcasts on this very subject, but for today, there are a few easy and feasible steps people can take immediately to start protecting their credit. First and foremost is to pull your credit report. Everyone is entitled to pull their credit report for free one time per year. For my clients, I make this part of the necessary documents in the divorce process. If someone is contemplating divorce, then I always recommend that they pull their credit report sooner rather than later. And when I'm working with both spouses, I have each person pull their credit report. The information from this report allows us to see which accounts are open, even if they're not being used, and if they are individual accounts or joint accounts. So the first step in protecting your credit is being informed and understanding what is open and reflecting on your credit report, because that will also allow you to prepare for the future or to remove incorrectly reported items from your credit report so that you can obtain your own credit or loans or credit cards. The second step is to keep your address up to date. If you receive statements in the mail and you and your spouse decide to live separately during the divorce, then you will want those statements to come to your new residence. If you have joint credit cards or joint loans, you will want to be able to access those statements electronically, if at all possible. Most lenders now have what are called e-statements or electronic statements, so those can be accessed via online, via computer or smartphone, and you can actually log into the account to view the statements. And when possible, spouses should share this information with each other so that each person can keep track of the statements on a monthly basis and that those bills, those joint bills, are being paid. And then the third tip that I would give is that for each loan that you have, either jointly or individually, set up an automatic payment for the minimum amount. There's a lot to think about and take care of in the divorce process, and many times bills escape our immediate attention and can get lost in the shuffle. By making sure that the minimum payment is made, you will save your credit score by avoiding any potential late payment notifications, as well as an added benefit of avoiding those annoying late fees.
Goodness. So those are all really important steps, and that's great information. Thank you very much. Is there anything else you would like to tell us about credit?
Sure, yes. I mean, just as an overarching summary, I think it's important to remember that divorce won't hurt your credit directly, but for the reasons discussed today, it can certainly impact your credit indirectly. And the best action you can take is to be proactive and be informed and make sure you know the loans and accounts you are responsible for. Making sure that you're mindful that even if the divorce decree states that your former spouse is responsible for a debt, so long as your name is tied to it, you are also responsible. So if your former spouse fails to make a timely payment, or heaven forbid, fails to make the payments after the divorce, then your credit can be impacted by their non-payment. And in most situations, the financial institution only cares about the name or names associated with a debt. So unless your name is removed from joint debt in the divorce process, the financial institution will often come after you for payment when your former spouse fails to pay.
They'll just try to get their money however they can. Is that sort of the deal?
Yes,
oh, goodness.
They will, because those are the two people who have signed on the loan or signed for payment, promising payment on the credit card, the auto loan, the mortgage, etc.
Mm-hmm. So it would be important to be mindful of that throughout the divorce process.
Correct.
Well, Nicole Davis, any other information you want to share with us today?
I think that wraps it up for today, but I think our listeners should stay tuned. I think that we'll have more helpful information in the future.
Nicole Davis, thank you so much for this information. It's invaluable. Hope to talk to you
again.
Thank you
for having me. Absolutely. Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you for listening to the St. Louis Family Law Association podcast. The information given in this episode is general in nature and may not apply to your particular situation. The information given is not meant to serve as legal advice. If you need legal advice, you may need to see a lawyer in your own jurisdiction. The choice of an attorney is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements. Visit stlewiscollaborativelaw.com for more information about this topic or to contact a collaborative family law professional today.